Hey guys, this is Corey Parker, Supercoach God, and you are listening to the Supercoach Champions podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Supercoach Champions podcast. You're here with Catfish as always, and I am joined by a former champion turned head-to-head specialist. Someone whose focus is no longer on the overall game, but look, it's 2021 overall champion, Timmy Moody. And Timmy, how's it going? Firstly, it's been a while since we've had you on.
Yeah, great to be back on. Thanks. I'm doing pretty well. Look, the head-to-head specialist, I guess, component comes out of a forced poor season overall. So, look, I did heavily invest, as I've said a few times on the podcast throughout the year, on head-to-head as well this year. Thankfully and luckily, I've made 4 out of 9 that I invested into, which is super lucky because I think for the last month I've taken losses nearly in all, the last 2 months, losses in all my head-to-heads. It's been really grim. And so I'm excited for Supercoach again. So for the last 2 months, I reckon I've known, you know, my chances of overall glory are well and truly no hope. And I kind of lost any sort of like belief in any chance of winning any of my head-to-heads as well. But I'm just in a spot now where I'm like, well, look, I've got a chance here. I've got to say it's a long, you know, 4 week journey, but I'm excited. Let's see what happens. Let's give it a whirl. My team's not too bad. It doesn't have great depth, but I've got a lot of the exciting guys.
Well, that's the thing with head-to-head, right? It doesn't really matter how good your team is as long as it's better than your opponents for the week. And yeah, look, I think the reality is, you know, there's only one person who can win every year. And I said to you quite early on, and you know, you kind of laughed at me, but I said, look, it's really hard to juggle both overall.
I knew you were going to bring this up, Wilfred.
Come on, mate. You knew it was coming. But
yeah, I knew this was coming.
You believe me now?
Yeah, look, I wasn't trying to be too, you know, naive or whatever at the time. It was, you know, I knew I had a big challenge ahead of me trying to tackle head-to-head and overall and trying to do well at both, and realized I was probably going to, I was aware of the situation. I still wanted to believe in myself, and I think that's okay to believe, want to believe in myself.
That's very fair. That's very fair. And look, I'm glad you made
it. Wilfred, I have taken some big lessons this year, though. However, I'm going to be extremely overall focused next year, and I've learned a lot about this buy system we've got weekly and the 3 major buys. So look out next year. I'm going to start playing serious.
No, that's really good because I think, you know, this is the first time we've all had a crack at this new kind of setup, longer season, weekly buys, all of that type of stuff. And, you know, you can go into the season thinking, yeah, I've got a bit of an idea on how I want to play this. But until you actually do it, until you have to cope with everything that goes on in a normal Supercoach season, you really just don't know, right? So I'm keen to dig into that. And it sounds like you got some good lessons and some insights, no doubt you can share with us. But
yeah, look, a lot of the things will probably more apply to the lessons that I've learned and what I need to fix with my side. So so other people might be able to take some things out of that, but sure. Yeah.
And look, that's what it is. Like if it doesn't apply to their team, that's fine. That's for them. But I still think someone's going to be able to, you know, take lessons from your mistakes that you've learned. And I think that's the beauty of Supercoach and being able to do this. You know, not today, because obviously the season's still going, but no doubt we'll have some time for reflection in the off season. But look, let's jump straight into this this episode. We've got obviously crunch numbers, captaincy as always, and then we'll spend some time chatting through some bit of strategy that we want to go through with. So let's jump straight into it. Crunch numbers like I do. They call me the king of the spreadsheets. Got them all printed out on my bed sheets. My new computer's got the clock. All right, thanks as always to our good friend Carl McGrath, accountant, for sponsoring this segment. Crunching the numbers. If you want to make sure you're not fudging your numbers when it comes to your taxes, make sure you get Carl to help you out. So as we get to the pointy end of the season, obviously, ultimately our focus is on overall, and we're very interested to watch that overall kind of, you know, the last couple of weeks, you know, you've been there, I've been there. We know what it's like to play in that kind of a miniature chess game slash playing head-to-head with multiple teams at the same time. So I wanted to take a look at, you know, firstly, player ownership in terms of the top 10, top 50-odd teams and, you know, which players are really popular that everyone has and some that, you know, pretty much everyone has that you might decide, I actually think it's smart to go without this player and actually go for a pod or something like that. So it's not just, you know, we talk about pods or players, points of difference all the time, but, you know, there's also that term of the antipod. You create a point of difference by not having the popular player. And I guess that's where, you know, they ultimately link, right? When you don't have the popular player, but you do have a lesser popular player, you've got like a pod there in itself. But yep. I guess that's what I'm trying to look at. So we'll start with the really popular guys. So Dave Fifita, Harry Grant, Joey Tarpanay, Ruben Garrick, all four teams in the top 10 own these four guys. And I mean, that's no surprise, right? I think they all speak for themselves. Then you've got Kalen Ponga, Cleary and Hines, all owned by 9 out of the top 10 teams. And then you get to Hopgood, Bateman, Manu and Drinky, who are owned by 8 of the top 10 teams. So any names there that stand out to you that you think not all teams should have these guys in there?
Yeah, well, none of them really particularly jumped out. They all obviously have been somewhat season proven and are kind of like keeper quality, I guess. So, but the thing the Hines thing, I reckon a halfback is going to be a big swayer in the combination of whether people have, you know, Nico and Cleary, Nico and SJ, Nico and, you know, those three guys, or basically even a DC, yeah, you could chuck that in, or even a Mitch Moses as well. But I think it's probably going to be those big three, SJ, DC, and I reckon you could leave Hines out. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, look, I think that's a very common kind of thought right now. And look, fair enough, he scored 22 last week. And
against the Panthers, to be fair. Yeah. He'll put that in, yeah, he's going to...
Exactly, yeah. I think that's huge, right? Because you've got to remember it was against the Panthers. They are such a stingy defense.
Yeah, like, and I'm not saying Nico's. I just want to make it clear before people start trying to get the app out and start getting him out of the side. I don't think that Nico's a sell. You have to get rid of him. I just reckon that I would prefer to have Cleary and SJ just with the situation that's at hand, with the draw, just the energy and hype around the Warriors versus the, you know, Sharks who backs against the wall that are just trying to look to get wins at this point and play some good footy. For those reasons, I'd go with that. But I just you don't have to sell Hines. I think there's every reason that Hines could go, 80s and ton.
Sure.
Yeah.
So SJ is currently in 2 of the top 10 teams. So I imagine that, you know, it makes sense, right? 9 out of 10 have Cleary, 9 out of 10 have Hines, and 2 out of 10 have SJ. So one team has Cleary, SJ, one team has Hines, SJ.
That's fine.
Is pretty much what I think it is. Everyone else has Cleary and Hines, which is a very common combo. So I think, you know, I'm pretty confident at least one team, I reckon, in the top 10 will go either Hines to Cleary or Hines to SJ this week. That's my feel. From the other names in the top, you know, from the top 10, like it's your John Bateman's, it's the Joey Manu's and the Ruben Garrick's. Those are the three names I think could be.
But yeah, Bateman, I've got him in my side. And if I had more trades, I mean, I don't know exactly who I'd swap him out for, but I feel like I'd look for something else. He's just a bit boring for me at the moment. Don't feel excited by him, or if I didn't have him, I wouldn't be scared to not have him.
Yep. What are your thoughts on, say, Manu or Garrick? Do you think they're perfectly viable to trade out?
Well, I've been thinking about selling Manu myself, not because I want to, just because, you know, to fund the two players that I want to get, I need to sell players that have kind of got similar value.
Yep.
I think you could kind of do it. It seems like, you know, he's only going to be about center for the rest of the year. There's some nice matchups there for him, and there is for the Roosters in general.
It's just whether you trust the Roosters.
I'm so on the fence about Joey Manu, hey, and also even Teddy. I feel like I've got both of them, and I feel like I could be willing to part with both for the new toys?
Well, in the top 10, we've got 6 out of the top 10 teams with Val Holmes as well. So obviously they've got a pretty simple decision. You got to trade them out, but who to? And there's obviously a number of names there.
I think that's a bit easier. Who to pick up and who to buy, I think, is easier than who to sell. I think that's the tough part at this time of the year, because you let go of guys that have kind of got pretty good draws still, but you know that there's another bloke you want that's just a little bit more appealing. It hurts to watch those guys that you let go of, you know, go on and score well.
Yeah, and now 6 of the top 10 teams have Latrell Mitchell. I'm wondering, do you reckon the other 4, or, you know, do you reckon Latrell is someone that you have to bring in if you're in overall contention here?
Have to. I don't think you have to. There's probably a few different ways to, you know, what is it they say, skin the cat or cut its throat or something? I don't know. Yeah, I reckon you could probably do it different ways and get your points a different way, but I wouldn't mind. Like, I feel like I'd feel pretty comfortable, more comfortable having him as one of my fullbacks than not having him as one of my fullbacks, is what I'm getting at.
Well,
just because he can go bananas, and just the Souths are sort of on the fringes, you know, he might need to really do some elite stuff to get the win for the boys.
Yep.
And that could be big super coach points, where I don't think he can afford to take a back seat, you know, where sometimes he can take a bit of a back seat. I don't think he's got that option going forward.
Well, I think the Rabbitohs have shown in recent weeks when he's not there. I mean, sure, there's other players who've been missing as well, but they've had some losses. And I think if he'd been there the whole time, there would have been a much better chance that he was going to, you know, help them win. So I think that's what probably you're getting at, like similar ways of saying the same thing. So, yeah.
I'd probably get him. Hey, he's not too out of reach either. He's not like, he's not a $1 million man. He's like, he's only 8 something, isn't he?
Oh, no, he's under 800K now. He's like around 769,000. Let's call it 770. So that's what I was about to say. Like,
yeah, if you've got the trades, if you've got one or two left or something like that, he'd probably be one of my guys. But there's also some guys from the Warriors, I reckon, that could.
Yeah, well, I think that's where, you know, you can go from Val to Latrell for less than 5 grand. So that would be a really simple trade I'd be suggesting for sure.
Yep, for sure.
But, you know, that brings us to a pretty good conversation point, which I'll definitely come back to, you know, what happens when you are down to like 1 trade, 2 trades only, and you only, you know, what are you going to do? Like, if you're in the top 10 and you only got 1 or 2 trades, because, yeah, let's face it, you know, shout out to Rugby League Fantasy Pro and their Supercoach Pro app, but you can see that there are multiple teams with 1 or 2 trades left in the top 10. So, you know, in those situations, you've got a tough call, right? You need to stay up there, plus, you know, obviously. Well, so
in that situation, I feel like when I was up the top, I had more trades than the people below me, and I, you know, knew that I could sort of have that sort of, I just felt comfortable. But what would make me nervous, I guess, is people that are saving the trades just in case of carnage, you know. So I reckon, I just reckon there could be enough carnage over the next 5 weeks that if you're trying to just pull your last 2 trades to try and go for overall and just go, let's start sprinting now. Like, I'm going to start sprinting now for head-to-head purposes, because if I don't win this round next week, then my head-to-head season's over. But for overall purposes, I'd kind of, like, if I had just 2 trades left or something, I wouldn't be, and I was chasing first, I wouldn't be pulling the moves. I'd be sitting back every week just hoping that there's injuries.
Yep.
That, you know, that the hits the guy up the top. Even if it hits my side too, at least I can cover that the week after. And as long as you can field like a 17 and it's a decent 17, you're probably going to be there bouts over the next couple of weeks. I'd just try to stay in the contention and still have aces up my sleeve if I was chasing.
Yeah, it's what do you think? Interesting one. Well, I guess, well, we may as well dive into it since we started talking about it. But I know there's a couple of other teams in the top 10. I believe 2 other teams, one who actually has a boost, but they have 7 trades. So I think those 2 teams are obviously able to play it a little bit riskier, where they can chase some of the pods.
Yeah, if they've got 7 trades, I was talking about a 2-trade situation,
that's
guy.
Right.
See, well, see, that makes me nervous. If I was the two trade guy, so say I was in like second or third and I hadn't had two trades, I'm starting to probably maybe more worry about the guy that's 200 points below me in, say, fifth, hypothetically, that's got seven trades than I am maybe at first.
Yeah, and I think that's where it's going to be tough because you got no control over what that team's going to do. I think only thing you can obviously control is what choices you make. For me, I would be looking at the players where, like, I'm worried that I'll slip behind if I didn't bring them in. So Latrell's probably one of the names that is well and truly there. I think if you didn't have, you know, a double gun fullback situation, then you'd want to get Cleary in there, ideally. But, you know, for myself, right, I've got Hines and SJ, and I didn't get Cleary because I had Hines and SJ. So as much as I do hate not having Cleary in my team, I can't justify using one of my last trades, or right now it's my last trade, to go from one of the other two to get Cleary in. So it'd be where, you know, if you don't have a gun fullback, you'd need to get a Latrell in or something like that. If you don't have, say, a gun hooker, I actually would spend the money and get Harry Grant in because we saw what he could do last week, and I think there's another 120-plus score waiting in the next couple of weeks as well, while the other guys are going to be flat out just trying to get to 70 most weeks. So I think that's where I'd be weighing up the balance between using one of my last one or two trades and holding it for an injury, if that makes sense.
Yeah, if I had one or two trades, I'd be going with the guys that I'm keen on, which is for head-to-head purposes, and that's Dallin, Tenney, and Chance, Nickel-Cockster. Just because of the draw, because how good they're going, the energy, the vibe around them, SJ, I reckon that they could just put, I reckon they could average 100 over the next, like the rest of the games for the season, but I reckon they will average 80.
And look, could very well happen because, you know, these guys have been doing 80s and 90s for multiple weeks already. Like, Chance is already in seven of the top 10 teams, and SJ's in two, and then DWZ, Dallin's only in one. So I was about to ask you who you thought might be the, I was going to rattle off a couple of the one out of 10 pods here. And I was going to ask you who you thought would be the scariest one that, you know, that would be really a good punt to take a risk on. And it sounds like you already answered that. So, Dallin, I do like that shout as well.
The only reason I'm not 100% sold on Dallin, and I don't know if I'm looking into it too much, is just that because their draw is so soft and they're playing a lot of easy sides, the Warriors, I feel like the ball might struggle to get out to the wing because everyone's just sort of scoring tries in the middle, or, you know, it's just when it's just that real hog style football when you can score at any moment within like 20 meters of the line. And yeah, it just seems like people are overcalling each other, and it just doesn't go to the normal natural play that gets iced when you're playing the harder sides. So, like, you know, you'll see Dallin score because they, you know, that's their preferred side, and when they're playing, say, a good side, but then maybe on the easier matchups, I'm just thinking, could it just be a bunch of random Warriors that still score? You know, it's 40-0 every game, but Dallin's only scored two tries because it hasn't got out to him. I don't know if that's too overthinking it, but, or whether, you know, in all of that, he should probably still get 2 to 3 tries on average each game. I reckon he's in for a big one over the next little period. That just, he's been so good for a long period in Supercoach now, and I just think he's still been under the radar. It's that curly mullet and him just being sort of vertical or like almost horizontal at times.
I tend to think he's going to be scoring plenty of tries. I mean, you look at his last, I mean, he started playing in round 7 this season and then till round 21. So he's only had 4 games where he hasn't scored a try this year. So he's going to find a try. And, I mean, since round 11 till now, he's only had 1 game where he didn't score a try. But, yeah, I tend to think he's going to be perfectly fine.
Mm.
I like him as a bit of a smoky to end the season. This is, you know, personally, I've looked at going Joey Manu to Dallin with my final trade, but I can't quite pull the trigger because it's my final trade. So I think I'm going to have to stick it out, unfortunately.
Do you have backup in hooker, or you got a Sonny Luke there?
I've got Blake Braley behind
Harry. I reckon, I'm pulling both my trades, and I've got Sonny Luke in my side. So, look, I wouldn't recommend it to the average super coach that's trying to have a good finish. But, Yeah, I'm just like, if you're playing head to head and you're in my spot, I reckon the way to go is just to use your trades and try to get through to the next round if you don't have a second crack at it. Strengthen up your side.
Yeah, I mean, it's your grand final every week from now on, right? If you're in the bottom half. But I think for you, you only use the trade if you're not winning your matchup. So I think, you know, maybe we can come back to that when we discuss a little bit of strategy. Look, that's plenty of number crunching. So get in touch with Carl as tax time well and truly is here. Get him to do your tax return. He'll legally maximize your tax refund, whether it's just a basic tax return or accounting for things like rental properties, capital gains on share trading, or even crypto. Carl can help you out and record everything correctly. There is no job that's too big or too small, whether you've got just a small individual tax return right through to having businesses being run through companies, partnerships, or trusts. Carl can help you out, and he will do all of that work himself for you as he is a small business owner. You're not going to talk to someone overseas or juniors or whatever. Carl does it all himself. And we'll remind you again, he's got a special for Supercoach Champions podcast listeners for $99 for a basic tax return. Even if you don't have a basic one, he'll look after you on price, and he'll probably chat a little bit to you about Supercoach as well. All right, let's jump over to captains.
Good morning, Captain.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking.
Aye, aye, Captain.
I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. Savvy.
All right, as always, we're going to have a look at the vice captaincy first and foremost. So, you know, first game of the round is the Roosters and the Seagulls. Now, I guess that brings into play guys like your Teddies, your Manus, your Ruben Garricks. And for me, that none of them really that appealing. Like, would you vice captain any of these guys?
Nah, not unless you were going to captain, say, someone in the next game or something, like say in the Warriors game, for example, SJ, and you just wanted to just throw it in. One on that game. I don't get a vibe that it's going to be heaps super coach attractive. I feel like it should be competitive. These sides feel like they're both. I thought that the Roosters would be competitive with the Broncos last week, though, to be fair. I wouldn't be VCing them. I don't like the vibe of it on a Thursday night. I think there's a better VCs and better VCs later in the round and better captains later in the round.
I think it's a fair shout there, I suppose. I guess if you had to pick someone from this game, I'd probably risk it on a Teddy.
Teddy, yeah. Maybe. Teddy's the only one I kind of think could maybe go Burko.
Yep. And look, let's go straight to the next game, Titans and the Warriors. So this is on the Gold Coast, which means the Warriors got to travel, but they're coming off the bye, which, you know, so they've had plenty of time to rest up, and no doubt they'll be keen to get some footy under their belt again. SJ, straight captain, absolutely. I definitely can see that. If you don't want to risk him, obviously, then the vice captaincy is perfectly fine as well. But I suppose this is where it gets into a little bit of, what do you do if you want to captain Cleary, for example, right? So, you know, maybe let's just stick with the straight captains and work out the VCs from back, going backwards. So, I mean, look, Cleary is an every week option, right? Even against the Storm, I think you'd consider him.
Yeah, I'd consider him. I reckon there's potentially better options this week, but... Yeah, he seems like safe though in a lot of ways. Like, you'll stay on the field. See, I'm thinking about going potentially someone later in the round. I'm a bit worried about Ponga. There's that HIA thing that we've been managed to get away with for so long, and I'm like, imagine putting it on him this week and grand final. First week of semifinals, I guess, and getting that being what knocks you out. So I don't know. I don't mind Cleary. I reckon he's probably like the next tier down. I reckon there's like a tier above him this week for captains.
Okay.
Yep. I'd say SJ and SJ, Moses and Ponga all probably in that tier above.
I suppose if you're going to mention the Eels players, I suppose maybe like a Clint Gutherson, if he's still in your team, is worth a shout against the Dragons, who seem to concede a lot to fullbacks. I suppose the other name I'll throw out there is Latrell Mitchell, obviously, against the Sharks, who just are struggling big time. I think Latrell didn't do too much last week, and he still managed to get to running around 80 or thereabouts.
Yep.
So, yeah, I kind of can see Latrell having a bigger game this week, especially if the Sharks continue to struggle.
The good sign is that he had a lot of involvement, though, like, say, 16 touches. So it's not like he just didn't do anything. You know what I mean? He didn't get the attacking stats, but, if he can do 16 touches every game, I reckon he could be some really scary scores.
And he kicked goals well as well. So I definitely can get aboard him as an option. Any other names that you could think of that you would want to consider?
You could, you know, if you want to just be a little wild and a little crazy, you could do Marju, but I think if you have Ponga, I feel like Ponga's just safer in that game.
Yeah, I can certainly understand that. And obviously the Knights right now, with the way Ponga's playing, like they can go both edges. So I think, you know, Marju's good for one try, but will he get the two or three that he'll need to really be a big payoff as a captaincy? Maybe not, because right now Dom Young seems to be scoring more tries than him, even though, yeah, like Dom Young could score two tries and Marju zero, and Marju could still outscore him for Supercoach because of his work rate. So I definitely don't think Dom Young is that in contention for a Supercoach captaincy.
A week where I wouldn't be comfortable to captain Drinkwater would be this one up against the Broncos.
He scored one last time, right? So
yeah, so I wouldn't be keen on that. And I wouldn't be keen on anyone in this game, to be fair.
Yeah. Look, I think at this end of the season, you know, you're sticking with your tried and true options, especially week one of head-to-head finals or, you know, again, 5 weeks to go for overall. I kind of don't think you'd be risking it unless, let's say, you stay away from Cleary. Maybe you vice-captain Cleary and then you go, I'm going to captain Trell. And then you look at, let's say, Cleary plays and he's highest captain or whatever, and then, you know, he bangs at a solid 80. And then you kind of think, well, maybe I do take the risk on, say, Ponga or, you know, like a Marju or someone like that who could potentially, you know, be a really low ownership and low captained option and, you know, might not be too far off an 80 if they don't go as well as you hope.
Yeah. I originally thought this was a bit of a tough week to pick captains, but the more you dig into it, there is quite a few options there, which is handy for head-to-head purposes as well, I guess, that if you are behind, sort of, as I think you'll sort of hint before, you can sort of go to another guy.
Yeah, there's a couple of later game options like your Bunnies players, like your Knights players or your Eels even. So I think I might land on like a VC, SJ, Captain Ponga type situation for myself.
That feels like a real, if you've got both those players, I reckon that seems like a good option, if especially if you don't have any AE nightmares. For me, I've got AE issues, so I'm thinking I'll probably decide to straight captain one. If I straight captain Ponga, I'll probably just VC SJ, which isn't really a straight C, but it would only loop it if it was, say, past 150 this week.
Yeah, which, I mean, it could happen. Could happen, definitely against the Titans.
Yeah, potentially, yep. But, yeah, I don't know, who do you like more? Do you like Ponga or... I think I like Ponga more than just with a day game, but the only thing that's holding me back a little bit is just the fear of head knock.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it, isn't it? It's just that risk there. Yeah, look, I think the day game's definitely better. I haven't dived into the weather yet, so that's probably going to be something else I'd have to make sure I check out before I decide. But if they're over in Perth, I think they should be all right. Like, they don't get as much rain as the East Coast overall, so... fingers crossed it's nice and dry for Ponga to have a bit of a masterclass going on there. I think we covered that in detail. Let's jump straight to some strategy chat.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
All right. So as we were talking about before, you know, part of the difficulty is deciding who you want to trade out. And we've, you know, half dived into that strategic chat in the Crunch in the Numbers. So let's say you're trading out of Val Holmes or you've had enough of Joey Manu or Ruben Garrick or, you know, those types of guys. What are the, I guess, the decisions that people need to make when they're bringing in someone in that at this point in the season? Is, am I going to get full games from them for the rest of the season, or is there a potential that they're resting? Or obviously if they've got buys like the Bunnies and the Eels at the back end of the year.
Yeah.
That's definitely going to come into it. So head-to-head wise, like Eels are not no dramas because round 27, I don't think there's any head-to-head comps that are playing that week. So that's no worries there. It's just the draw for the Eels is actually quite tough. And I think that's more of a head-to-head consideration there. But looking at the ladder, right? So it's quite an interesting ladder. And this is where it's a little bit tricky when you've got teams who haven't had all their buys, like the Broncos and the Rabbitohs and the Cowboys. As well as obviously the Eels, and then you're trying to match up to teams that, you know, have more games to play for the rest of the season. So you look at the ladder, I think we're looking at who's going to make top four, who's going to make top eight. At the end of the day, like if they're locked in to top four. Like, for example, I think right now the Panthers, you can safely say they got one hand on the minor premiership, I reckon. But they can't afford to lose, actually, because if the Broncos keep winning and the Panthers keep winning,
well,
right now the way it stands, they're going to end up on same points overall. But I guess the Panthers have to win an extra game because they don't get a free 2 points from that the Broncos will get in round 25 when they get their bye. So, look, I think both of those teams are likely to be locked into top four come end of season.
Yeah, there's a chance there, isn't it? But then again, they might not be locked into minor premiership, and they probably both want that.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest question mark there. So it's hard to tell.
Sometimes, though, I've got a feeling, though, that in the past couple of years, there's been a team that was willing to sort of not take the minor premiership or sort of rested players and didn't bother them.
The Storm, generally.
Yeah, I think there was kind of like minor premiership doesn't mean as much as winning the big one. I'm terrible with these sorts of remembering important facts.
I think the Panthers, given, you know, you guys are trying to go three in a row, this might be a year where they definitely consider, you know, minor premiership or not, they're going to think about round 27 potentially for resting some players. So I'd be mindful. Like, obviously, you know, Brian Tortall is a very popular option this week, and fair enough. Like, I was lucky to jump on 2 weeks ago, which was really good for me, but he's on a tear, and I can imagine though he still may miss round 27. So that's probably something to be mindful of. I kind of think the Broncos, because they're going to have the round 25 bye anyway, so that's tough. That's like prelim finals for head-to-head. But, for overall players, aside from round 25, they're not resting in round 27. I'm pretty confident about that.
Yeah, it's too stop-starty, isn't it?
Yeah. So they probably, if you want someone that's available guaranteed for round 26 and maybe 27, then I think the Broncos could be pretty safe. Now, this is where it gets a little bit interesting because I think, you know, the Warriors, Storm, Raiders, and then you get into a mess where the Rabbitohs, Sharks, and Cowboys are all on 26 points. So genuinely, the Sharks look like they could be at risk of slipping out of the top eight. So I can't see the Sharks getting any rest, basically, for the rest of the season because aside from playing other teams that they're trying to fight with for the top eight, like the Raiders, the Sharks, and the Knights, and the Bunnies, they're all on that run home for them. So if they're losing to those teams near them on the ladder, it's a double whammy, right? They're not just losing games. They're losing to other teams that are overtaking them. So I think Sharks players are going to play every game for the rest of the season. I feel the Cowboys are going to be in a similar situation, right? Because they've been struggling for so long. But with the Cowboys, they've got the round 24 bye. That's obviously next week. Do you think that's a real difficult one to navigate there for yourself? Like, do you have any Cowboys in your team at the moment?
I don't have any Cowboys, no.
Oh, that makes it easy.
Happy days.
Well, I guess that's not a drama for you there. I mean, you know, maybe if you did have a Cowboy, right? Like, I've talked about it yesterday with Joe, but I was thinking if you got Drinky with the low score there and the Broncos matchup, like, it might be viable to trade Drinky down to Latrell this round, free up a couple hundred grand, and then you can get Drinky back in round 26.
I suggested that on the Experience podcast this week because I reckon that could be a possibility. Yeah, selling Drinky now. Yeah.
Well, that's great to mind.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think that's definitely something that people can consider there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously the Rabbitohs are really tough for head-to-head players. Round 26, grand final week. They're not going to be available because they're on the bye.
Yes.
I kind of think that, though, like, there's almost no chance that they're going to rest in round 27, is there? Because
you wouldn't think so. The thing is, though, it is like it's very hard to predict the ladder and who's going to be where, and because it's such a tight competition, you can't really say week to week who's going to win what game. Sure. And yeah, I guess maybe it could get to any like the last round where some of these teams that are sort of on the fringes know exactly where they're at and they're secured in to make seventh or eighth. And that'll be only way, you know, position they can finish in, whether they win or lose sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? Where they, then they are. I think that those scenarios do sort of creep up as well.
I guess so the only thing I'll throw in there is the Bunnies play the Roosters in the round 27. And, you know, that's obviously always a very spirited matchup between the two teams.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think we're fortunate that there won't be as many restings this year compared to the past, just because of how tight the comp is. But
I tend to agree, and I think it's also because of the number of, you know, the extra buys that they're getting throughout. Like, especially if they're having late season buys,
yeah.
Like you know, anyone like Bulldogs, Cowboys, Broncos, Rabbitohs, like, why would they rest them again in a couple of weeks later, right? So I kind of think, you know, short of injuries being there and needing the rest and niggles or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I kind of do think that they'll be playing those final rounds aside from when they're obviously on the bye. But I guess this is where, like, depending on what happens, like the Titans, the Dolphins and the Roosters are mathematically still in with a chance of, you know, being in the finals, but they're going to come up against each other. So, you know, like I said, the Sharks will play the Titans, and that probably will determine whether or not there's a chance. The Titans will need to beat the Sharks because the Sharks are going to be one of the teams that Titans need to jump over,
yep.
in order to be able to get there to play in the finals to make the top eight. So it's going to be really interesting. The next couple of weeks are going to change so much. But I don't know, hopefully exploring that a little can give some ideas on what players you might feel a little bit more confident bringing in for this round, making sure that you believe that they're going to play for the rest of the season or not. Now, just to finish up this conversation, like, would you stay away from players from, you know, like the Tigers, Dragons, Bulldogs, where they've got pretty much nothing left to play for?
I'd probably stay away from those sides just because they're probably just
not very good.
Yeah, for the same reason I'd stay away from them throughout the whole year. Yeah, they're not winning games. They're not scoring lots of points. They're less likely to have attacking Supercoach points and stuff to go with that. But then again, you know, like I was thinking about that for the Roosters as well, like, because I've got Roosters, Manu and Teddy, and, you know, if they lose this week, it's pretty much done for them. I was thinking, though, that, you know, if the season's done, that could just take the pressure off a lot of these sides where they start playing a lot better because they don't need to win. And they just play free football and they just start ruining the party for everyone else that are in the fight still. What's your thoughts on that? I think that's a thing.
Yeah, look.
And then, you know, everyone, there's always every year where some people are like, oh, where's this been all year? You know what I mean? The Roosters will then win the last four games by like 30 points and then everyone will be like, oh, where's this been?
I think that's where sometimes when there's not much to play for, right, and players are playing for their own future, they're trying to fight for spots for next year, or, you know, maybe they're trying to fight for a contract for, you know, themselves. Like, that's where I guess it can bring some different performances out. So that's really unpredictable, obviously. And I guess, you know, I back the Roosters to never give up because they're a very proud club, obviously, and they're probably quite disappointed at their current performance, and I've got no doubt they're going to want to finish the year strongly, even if it's just because it's mathematically possible for them to still make the finals. So if that gets ruled out because they lose in the next 1 or 2 weeks, then I still think they're going to be putting in and not being rolling over and being easy beats and giving up, like I think someone like the Bulldogs maybe, or even the Titans, they can easily just give up at the end of the season when they're well and truly out of contention.
Yep, I see what you mean.
All right. So I guess just to finish up here, maybe spend a little time talking about some of our favorite late season flyers. I mean, we kind of talked about some of those players already. You know, you talked about your Dallin. I really like him as well. And, you know, I've had some people go, well, I can't afford Chance. He's like, you know, 30K more than Dallin is. Mm. I'm like, well, just pay out for Dallin instead. Like, I don't mind that shout, even though I think Chance is the much safer and more solid option because of his work rate, because he's full back and all of that.
I reckon if you're a bit worried about, like, you, someone that needs base, and you're worried about a guy that could have a low floor, and if he needs a try, and you can't afford Chance, is you go a Gay guy. He's just a little, he's pretty similar price to Dallin. And he's, you know, he's just that guy that sort of will just score you 70. 80, and you're like, oh, I didn't even realize he had that good of a game. Okay, good. I'll take that.
Well, he's been doing it all season.
Yeah.
So I think if he didn't get hurt a couple of weeks ago, he might have gotten a little bit more attention.
Yeah, well, I had him, and I only recently sold him because I think the NRL physio has sort of mentioned something along the lines of it limits his sort of explosion of speed, like similar to the turf toe that Adam Dewey had. So I thought that's enough for me to just, I don't need that stress. But yeah.
He's obviously recovered a lot better than anyone expected. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I do like Gagai as a shout, especially if you don't have Maju, right? Like it's an opportunity to maybe risk Gagai over Maju. I don't know if I want to have.
I like it. They're also on opposite sides.
Yeah.
Too. Just, I don't know. Like, I know sometimes when they're on the same plays on the same side, they can get the same attacking play together and you can double chime in on it. I just feel like, yeah, you've got a little bit of, which if you're watching a Knights game, if the ball's going to the right or the left, you don't really care. You're a bit like, yes, yes, either way. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
For that reason, yeah, you're getting a bit of love either way.
I guess that's where you really have to trust that the Knights are going to continue their ongoing
good form. A pretty good draw.
Yeah. No, I do like to
Ponga's shout. Steering that ship around pretty well.
Absolutely. Now, a couple of other names, I guess, you know, looking at it. I mean, one of these names I jumped on last week, I brought in Hot Scott Sorensen as my pod. He's been going really well in the second row there. I think this is the question, though. Like, would you be happy to run Sorensen over a Fifita or a Hopgood or Nukura? You know, who else do people
I'd be happy to go with a guy like Sorensen over, say, someone like Nukura or Bateman. I feel like Hopgood and Fifita are like just in a step above them, those other guys. Fafita's probably on a step above, obviously, Hopgood even.
Yep.
But just for Hopgood's consistent sort of, he's just like a bloody Woody Woodpecker, just pecks away all game.
I guess if you didn't have them two, the two of them, and you're thinking of bringing one of them in, you might automatically kind of lean towards, you know, Sorensen because he technically doesn't have a bye, but then I kind of think he's most likely getting a rest in round 27. So
yeah, yeah, I reckon that with Garner and Hosking there, there's a good chance that maybe he does, hey?
Yep. But look, hopefully he scores enough over the next couple of weeks. I mean, Storm, Seagulls, Titans, Eels, it's not a bad run overall. Mm. And I guess the Panthers are bloody good. And he's been doing it all season. He's just I've been very impressed by him.
Yeah, he's done good.
I don't know if there's any, like, You're not pod hunting at hooker. You're not pod hunting at front row forward. We've talked about halfback already. I guess at 5'8", look, a lot of people do have, you know, Ponga, and then it's either Cody Walker or Munster or something like that.
Yeah.
Are there any other names you could think about there? Or is
there's it- only one name that I kind of was a little bit like, I haven't mentioned him yet this week, but I reckon he's still an option, is the villain, Jerome Luai. He's an option. I mean, deal bags as well, returning. The draw's a bit tougher for the Eels. They do have that round 27 bye. But I do think with deal bags, he'll want to really repay his teammates with some good footy. So yeah. I think that could really be good for owners there, even in a tougher draw. Don't mind him as a super pod. But, yeah, and Jerome as well. I just think that, you know, he scored pretty well last week as well against
He's got a 5-round average of 77 and a 3-round average of 77, which is kind of funny. But look, I think with Jerome, it's more, let's say you don't have Cleary, right? I think that's where you might look a little bit more seriously at him. Whereas I think if you got Cleary, I'm not sure if you want to double down on the Panthers halves.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, that's a good thing to mention.
That might be where I'd kind of look at it. But otherwise, for me, it's mostly, which two out of, you know, Ponga, Walker, Munster, or do you have Walker, Munster, and then Ponga at fullback? Some setup like that. I think that would be the ideal setup, I think, if you could afford it. Back at fullback, though, I mean, I think Littrell is the standout. That's probably the guy you'd want to have. And partnering him with Ponga is definitely an option there. But I don't know, like, it just feels like the fullbacks are just dropping like flies, right?
Yeah, Kennedy, who looked like he could have been an option, let me down for the past 6 weeks and now he's gone. Guthrie's
still out and about, but I just think he's not going to – yeah, he's going to struggle with Dilbag's back, taking away some of the attack.
That's shaved head. Don't want that in my Supercoach side either.
Exactly. And Drinky with – I keep disrespecting Drinky, I'll be honest. Like, it's hard when someone is so dependent on attacking stats that the base stats are low enough for him that it's scary at the price tag he's got. But now he's lost Val. I think that's huge, right? Because Val sometimes was just, he's creating points for Drinky. He's finishing off points for Drinky. Like, there's some, you know, 70-meter tries that Val scored where Drinky gets a try assist, line break assist for passing it to him, and then Val does all the work afterwards, right? So
he's looking pretty badass, though, like just elusive as hell. Like, gets the ball, just springs in his little feet. He twists and turns. He pivots. You don't know where he's going. He's palming. He's running this way, that way, and then off he goes.
Yeah.
I like the look of him.
Absolutely.
Mm.
But I guess this comes down to, you know, does he score poorly this week as well again, and then misses round 24?
Bit of a drop-off. Yeah, I reckon you could take your points, be happy with them, and then I feel like I'd prefer Latrell at this point, hey. I reckon that's a good trade for Drinkwater owners.
It's almost like, again, it depends how many trades you have. If you don't have any more, then I'm probably not going sideways.
I'm happy to ride Drinkwater out for the rest of the year. Yeah,
exactly, yeah. But
I've got Teddy as one of my fullbacks, and I'd prefer to have Drinkwater. Just couldn't afford him.
Yeah, I think this is where, like, if you got four or five trades, it might not be a bad strategy to go Drinky down to a Latrell or whatever, someone who's got, you know, a better next 2 weeks, and then you can always come back to Drinky when he's dropped a little bit in price and he's got better matchups again. So that's probably how I'd look at it. Again, it just depends on your trade situation, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm, 100%.
All right, mate, we've gone into a lot of detail, and no doubt there's more that we could discuss, but yeah, we probably should finish up here. Any final words of wisdom that you want to offer the champs listeners?
Okay, final words of wisdom. If you're playing head-to-head, I reckon don't loop this week. Like, if that's what your focus is, go for just, you don't want to loop, you don't want to cop any AEs. It could be the difference. And for you overall players, back yourself. You know, whatever it is, that guy that you think is the guy that's going to get you into the top 1,000, the top 100, or to overall number one glory, back yourself. Get the guy that you believe in.
Yeah, I think it's understated, but like, just, you got to be happy with your team ultimately. And if having a certain player that your gut screaming out to you, look, just got to get him in.
Yeah,
do it. Otherwise, you're going to kick yourself if they go off and, you know, they could have got you in the top 1K. And if you didn't do it, then, you know, that's going to hurt double the amount. If, you know, you don't get into the top 1K, but you back yourself, like, at least you went down swinging and trusting your gut, and you probably enjoyed it a bit more.
Oh, I'm going down swinging hard this weekend. If we don't stay on the top of our feet by the end of the round, we're going down hard. So,
all right. Well, good luck to you in your head-to-head final matchups. I'm more invested, obviously, in the overall. I still haven't given up overall top 1K. I'm probably about 400 points away. So,
that's achievable.
It's achievable, but I've only got one trade left. So we'll see how we go. I have to dodge some serious injury and suspension risks. But look, I dodged Val, so maybe the luck's with me for the time being.
Very nice.
All right, mate. Thanks for jumping on. Good luck as always. And yeah, we'll chat with you again soon.
See ya.